Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown podcast. As always, I am your host, Adam, joined here by my co-host, Yusuf.
Hey guys, what's up? Like always on this deep, dark day, we are still going to ask it. Follow us on Spotify, Twitter, iTunes, and Instagram. Facebook, Instagram, everything at Barca Breakdown. Leave us some comments or reviews. Tell us how today's game went, what you thought needs to be changed. Tell us everything. Throw your frustrations out in our comments, and we can grieve together.
Help each other cope. Exactly. Yeah. And in case any of you are curious, Yus runs the Instagram, I run the Twitter, so keep that in mind if you can recognize our voice and who you're talking to. I think the first thing I want to talk about, and, you know, we'll get into the fact that none of our big players had great games, the fact that we're lacking pace, the fact that Setien's midfield that was non-existent and Arthur and De Jong were pushing up in a very weird way that only left really Busquets in the midfield, and the fact that, you know, this whole method of having Ter Stegen hold the ball at the back and try to build from the back is just clearly not working. I think the thing that really bothered me is just how little passion I saw from any of the players today. I mean, this is an away Clasico. We're up by 2 points. The league could have been it could have been totally in our control if we win. And, you know, you see Marcelo make that tackle on Messi when Messi had that pretty bad touch and, you know, could have had a chance for a shot on goal. And he gets up and he's screaming to the crowd. He looks so excited. And I just can't really figure out any time this season where I've seen the Barca players have that sort of passion. And overall, it just seemed like no one was there to, you know, to go after it, to make their name in Barca history. You know, I think back to that game where Messi was missing in the Clasico and Suarez scored that hat trick. And you could feel that Luis Suarez was there because he felt like a sense of honor playing for Barcelona and sense that, you know, he wanted to rise to the moment. I just don't think there was a single player out there except for maybe Semedo, who really was trying to show up and show their best. What do you think about that, Yus?
No, definitely. I mean, considering, you know, when some of these plays are being made, like Piqué makes a nice slide tackle to save us. Piqué kicks the ball out of the goal when the ball just passes Stegen. You can see it on his face. He's frustrated. He's upset. He's angry. And you can see it on other players' faces. There's no passion. It's honestly, each player's in their own head. They seem frustrated. They seem angry, and like it causes disconnect on the field. Like Frankie De Jong just looks like he's not in it, right? Like nothing in the midfield from him seemed to, cause any passion to strive to go push forward, score a goal, or you know, an assist, anything like that. And you know, even Messi made some pretty great attempts on the goal when Busquets kicked over the top, and he had that difficult shot to put away. Even after that, he didn't seem like he was encouraging the team, like, yeah, let's do this, like, come on, give us another one. You know, it seems like nobody is trying to bring each other up, telling each other, let's do this, let's work on this. You know, there's no communication, it's frustration.
True. And I think, you know, obviously we miss Luis Suarez, and it's become more evident because of his ability to make runs and to do dummies and to do 1-2s with Messi and to occupy opposing center backs so that Messi has better chances at shooting on goal. But one of the biggest things we miss Luis Suarez for, as I, you know, kind of alluded to earlier, is that it feels like that guy every game is willing to, you know, metaphorically die on the pitch for the team. He's willing to give it his all. And I just don't see that from any other player right now. And it's pretty frustrating as a fan, right? I mean, Ronaldo's in attendance. The Madrid fans are going crazy. Marcelo's going crazy. And everyone on Barca just seems like they're just like a wet towel. No one's excited. No one's really out there to create some havoc. But I guess let's get into the game and kind of talk about what we saw. So in the starting lineup, we had Jordi Alba come back from injury. We had Umtiti over Lenglet. Then we had Piqué and Semedo. In the midfield, we had De Jong, Arthur, and Busquets. And then up front, we had Griezmann, Messi, Vidal. Based off that starting lineup, what were your thoughts? You know, I'm curious to think what you thought about Alba playing after being injured and the choice of Vidal instead of Braithwaite or Fati up front.
Okay, to start off, this lineup seemed like on paper, you know, I wouldn't say there's very many problems. The only thing I really looked at that bothered me to start off was that Vidal was occupying that front space again, not as a midfielder, really. I didn't think that worked so well last time that we did this. I didn't think this was the time to play him in that position. I thought Fati should have started, really. Aside from that, overall, I was totally fine with the lineup. And Alba was questionable in my head, but with Firpo's recent performance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I did.
Slipping all over the pitches and stuff.
Yeah. And Real Madrid's a fast team. They got some young players, and we saw today especially that I don't think Firpo would have done such a great job. I think the pitch was a little wet as well, and since he's been known to be a little slipper on the pitch, I don't think that would have been the best choices. But yeah, overall, I thought this is like a decent paper lineup. But we saw today that, you know, that doesn't really matter, right? We've said that before with someone like Griezmann, Messi, and Suarez up front. But how many times did that happen and it seemed to kind of be a dud?
Yeah, I think anytime we look at the lineup, there's kind of like a twofold lens you have to view it through, right? One that's just readily apparent is that the board hasn't done a good job of getting, you know, a winger. You know, of course, they couldn't expect Dembele to be hurt, but we didn't have Carlos Perez. We didn't have any other option to do as a winger. And there's really no out-and-out striker in that role. Like, it's, I think, become apparent throughout the season that Griezmann, if he's the only guy up there, just isn't performing well enough to score a lot of goals for Barca. And so, yeah, on one element of it, it's the board hasn't really provided us depth, even after the game last weekend, I think against Napoli at midweek. You know, Busquets said, well, we didn't have a lot of depth because that's the way this was planned. So, you know, on one level, you always have to mention, hey, the board just doesn't do a good job of fleshing out our lineup so that we have depth and that we're not playing the same, you know, 30-plus-year-old players every week who don't get any rest, right? It's pretty crazy. On the other hand, like you're saying, we just keep doing this experiment of having Vidal as like a weird false nine slash like free player who's just kind of running around and, you know, quote unquote, causing havoc and, you know, what all the analysts on TV will say, he's a warrior, he's this and that. I mean, he is, and he does provide a lot of value to this team and has proved crucial this season. But in the role he's being put in right now, it just doesn't seem like it's good enough against top-level opposition, which Real Madrid is, right? Even though they just lost against Man City, they are a top team. Obviously, now they're ahead of us in La Liga. So, you know, maybe playing Vidal in that role against Leganes or Ibar is going to work, but against a top opposition, it doesn't seem very good. I was a little bit hesitant about putting Alba in after just coming back from injury. In the first half, I noticed that Alba wasn't bombing forward like he normally does on the wing, whether that was a tactical decision to keep him you know, back in case they go on the counter, or it was because he's, you know, coming back from injury and they don't want him running up and down the pitch every second like he does often. Sure. I also saw a report before the game that Setien was advised by the doctors that Alba had a chance to, you know, hurt himself again if he played, and he chose, after talking to Alba, to play him. I thought Umtiti over Lenglet was an interesting choice. I mean, it has become clear that Setien prefers Umtiti over Lenglet, and I don't exactly know if I think that's true. I mean, I think Big Sam, he has an advantage in passing some games, but in a game like today where, you know, the center backs basically, once Stegen was trying to distribute the ball, they would move to the side, and then Stegen would look to figure out how to pass the ball up towards the center. That kind of takes away Umtiti's, you know, passing lanes and his ability to build up the back. And so in that situation, maybe I think Lenglet would be a better choice. You know, in the Mariano goal at the end of the game, I thought possibly if Lenglet's there, he has more speed and could catch up to him. And then the midfield, I was pretty happy, right? I think after the last few weeks, we all wanted to see Arthur start. There's no way we wanted to see Rakitic in there. No. So the lineup wasn't, you know, awful. I think after this game, there's some questions now, like, hey, maybe we should start Braithwaite a few games with Griezmann and Messi, or start him ahead of Griezmann with Messi and Fati. You know, I think it's clear we need to switch something up. But, you know, the whole thing here is that our midfield is just not existent, right? I mean, I think everyone who watched the game had a comment that Frankie didn't really seem to live up to the moment and didn't provide a great, you know, offensive tool. It's very bizarre to me that at times in the game, Frankie and Arthur were basically on the same line as Griezmann. And so, you know, when it's clear to us that we're not able to build the ball and connect the ball from our midfield to our forwards, and then, you know, when we try to build it way out the back from our goal forward, and you have just not a lot of positional rigidity and not players kind of knowing exactly where they should attack, it causes a lot of frustration.
Definitely. And also to consider that when we had the ball in our back half, we had so much trouble getting it out, especially in the second half, right?
Oh, it was so bad, dude.
But what's important is also to talk about is the fact that our players looked so sloppy trying to get the ball out, right? How many times did we make a poor pass? And even though I thought Semedo did a great job, especially defensively, there were times he would get that ball back, or he would stop the ball. He would try to make a pass to get it out of there, and it would just go straight to Real Madrid player, or just be a poor pass, poorly placed, and not enough strength on it, and then it gets stripped, right? So
true. I mean, I think to throw back to an old description I used to use here, it was a little bit of a tale of two halves, right? God, I got to choose a new phrase there. But, I mean, you know, let's break down the first half, right? I think the first half we didn't play well, but we at least looked like we had some opportunities, right? There was, you know, Griezmann made a great pass to Arthur and put him one-on-one with Courtois, essentially, because Arthur was able to stiff-arm Cruz, which I loved. And then he tried to do a little chip, and it got saved. I thought that was a good attempt. There was another time when I think Alba crossed it into Griezmann, and Griezmann totally skied it, didn't even get it, you know, on goal. And then there was, like you mentioned,
that should have been a goal, by the way.
For sure, it should have been a goal. And, you know, we got a little bit of flack last week for saying that, hey, Braithwaite, you know, is an impact player and Griezmann's been sloppy. I mean, I would love to see, you know, that fan, you know, defend Griezmann after this game. I thought, you know, he continues to just not create offensively. And, you know, for the first half of the season, we were here, especially me, I remember saying, hey, Griezmann's putting in a good defensive shift. Let's not try to be too critical. The offense will come. I mean, now it is March of, you know, the season. He's been here for a full 7-8 months. And so at some point we have to start thinking, okay, you know, this isn't just him getting used to a system. This is perhaps a bigger sign of his inability to score in the play style we're trying to play. It's a little unfair because we switched coaches midseason, but you know, one thing I'll talk about, you know, that going forward, perhaps we should try and see a Fati, Messi, Braithwaite front line, something like that in the next few games. But yeah, Griezmann skied that ball. And then there was other time when, you know, Busquets passed it over to Messi and he tried to one-time it and unfortunately kicked it right at the goalie. But in that first half, it seemed like we had some good chances. Although, you know, there were some ominous moments, right? There were plenty of times when Madrid had some breakaways, some four-on-fours, some three-on-threes where, you know, Semedo was able to make a great tackle on Vinicius or Piqué was able to stop a cross. And so I even tweeted at halftime, like, hey, this looks good, but I don't know if our defense can stand up for the full 90. And that kind of came to fruition in the second half. Did you have any other thoughts about the first half? I mean, one last comment I have, I guess, before I throw it to you is that, you know, there were plenty of times, one time in particular when Frankie was trying to go on a breakaway and then there were six Madrid players between him and goal and there were zero Barca players there. So, you know, overall, even though the first half was much better than our second half, the overarching theme of the game was just we don't have any pace. A lot of our players are too slow. And then, you know, there's a lot to be said about Messi maybe not being on top of his top of his game, maybe him being a little bit injured, but it's kind of he's screwed no matter what he does. Because on one hand, if he stops by, you know, near the halfway line and tries to create offense like he tried in the first half, no one's making runs, no one's really providing him an outlet to pass to. And then if he's in the, you know, in and around the box, he's surrounded by three people man-marked and then, you know, had a few chances today where he should have done better.
Sure. My biggest comment about the first half was I think it was our only real offensive chance to score in today's game. I thought that we looked good on some of these one-touch passes like you talked about where Alba gave the ball to Griezmann and he just slopped it over the top. But the issue that I'm having here is that we shouldn't be having to give up these great opportunities, fall short, and then somehow, you know, we don't score because of that, and later in the game we fall behind, and then we have to work that much harder, right, to come back. I think, like, my biggest criticism is that we should be finishing so many of these things, especially with someone like Griezmann, especially inside the box, especially with such a great pass to him, right? My criticism is just that, like, we can't have such high-caliber players giving such little to the team overall. It seems
in these huge moments, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When can we ever... it's basically we can never win unless Lionel Messi has a good to great game. Unless he's providing an assist or two or scoring a goal or two, we can't win. And it feels like we're a broken record because I think if we went back to, you know, as we come on our one-year anniversary here on the Barca Breakdown, which will be in mid-March, you know, if we went back to that first episode, we might have said the same thing, that, hey, it's the same story. If Messi doesn't perform, we can't do well. And if we had started this podcast 2 or 3 years ago, it's the same story. And, you know, I think the club has tried to buy Griezmann, Dembele, Coutinho to try and help that out. Because those are, you know, players who, when we bought them, you would think are offensive forces who could create goals and interplay with Messi. Sure. And they just haven't panned out at all. And then the players we have bought, like De Jong, we seem to not play in the right position, right? He seems like he's like a deer in the headlights. He doesn't know where to play. On Ajax, he was like a double pivot and was good at, you know, running with the ball forward. In this Barcelona team under Valverde and Setien, we're trying to play him as an attacking midfielder, and he's trying to play in between the lines of the midfield and the defenders, and he just doesn't really seem like he is suited or adapted to this play. Now, do I think that 2 years from now we might be talking about how Frankie's the best midfielder in the world and how he's incredible? I totally do. But clearly this year he's not playing well. And, you know, that's a harsh reality of playing for FC Barcelona, is you don't have a lot of rope to, you know, maneuver with, right? Like, if you're starting for this team, you need to be performing now. And unfortunately, Frankie's not. Now, that is not only on him. Like I said, it's on the coaches as well. But, you know, the facts are that Frankie didn't have a great game.
Sure. He definitely didn't have a great game. But two, it's kind of like the situation where even with Coutinho, you know, like I gave Coutinho such a long, drawn out opportunity to flip the switch, right? But it seemed like he still always played in a position that he wasn't so accustomed to. And Barcelona almost, you know, sealed his fate. And hopefully that doesn't happen with Frankie. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't, because, you know, we play Griezmann kind of off the block, you know, of where he's typically doing his best performances. But yeah, I think you're totally right overall. Like, we can't have these players who are of high caliber and perform so little and have to rely on someone who, like Messi, who has to contribute to both sides of the assisting or the goal scoring, right? We can't rely on that.
I think before we wrap up talking about the first half, there were a few bright things, right? I mean, it's crazy that the first half was by far better than the second, and this has already been so negative. But there were a few good points, right? I thought Semedo throughout the whole game, and especially in the first half, really shone. Under Setien in general, he seems to be coming into a much better player than he has the last, you know, 2 to 3 years in Barca. And, you know, he looked good defensively. He stopped Vinicius a few great times with some well-timed tackles and well-timed just knocking the ball free. And then offensively, I thought he was, you know, making some havoc and trying to create. You know, I think we also have to give Ter Stegen some credit. He looked very good throughout the game. And then in the second half, neither goals were his fault. I thought
wonderful
Busquets
save
also
by
actually
him, by the
played...
way.
I think Busquets also played a good first half. He had some incisive passes and some good moments. But unfortunately, the second half turned a little sour. What positives in the first half do you want to discuss?
You mean in the second half?
No, first.
Oh, in the first half? I just thought overall in our first half was the only time that we seemed to connect offensively, make some good passes. And like you said, Busquets seemed to shine in a little bit more on the offensive part in the first half. I also think Arthur did a pretty good job standing his ground, I would say. I don't remember if it happened in the first or second half, but there was a time he kind of bodied Ramos off of him, which I thought was a great thing. And I thought that was like, you know, one of our midfield players seemed to be aggressive enough to take on some of these Real Madrid players and push the ball. But
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is the same issue that we were talking about with Arthur back in like October and November. It's that he's good at, you know, resisting some of the presses, and he's good at, you know, getting free from when the midfield or the defenders on the opposing team are trying to attack him. But that's almost it, right?
And like, yeah,
when our whole issue here is that we're not able to, get the ball from our midfield to our attackers without having Messi do it, and then, you know, leaves us with no tooth in attack. It's like, okay, Arthur does provide that, but what real benefit is that giving us if he's not able to then, once he gets the ball away from the defenders, to transition into a forward-looking offensive attack?
I totally agree, but you did ask me about the positives. So, other offensive positives, I would say that it seemed like Griezmann was more active in the first half. Or I guess I should say our front three were more active, although Vidal wasn't very, he didn't contribute all too much. There's just like the positives don't really get shined enough because so many negatives caused, you know, caused like the dark clouds to rain over them. So
true. Well, let's get into the second half because we're going to get even darker, right? I mean, it was just clear, and that was kind of the first point I made on this podcast, that they just wanted it more, and they came out way more aggressive. I think that, you know, the big negative and the thing that just really drove me crazy in that second half was that we just weren't able to get the ball out of our half effectively almost any time.
Whatsoever.
I mean, first off, right, we talked about this already, but the whole method under Setien where he has Stegen hold on to the ball for way longer and then have the center backs kind of go out wide is just not working because it just overall the offense in that situation seems so predictable, right? Like, okay, the center backs are going wide, but there's some, you know, the strikers on the opposing team who are kind of near them. So, of course, he's going to try and pass the ball up the middle to one of our midfielders, and then the opposing defense knows what's going to happen. So, you know, I think it sounds like a good idea. Like, okay, you know, we're having issues because every time we go forward, there's eight people behind the ball and we can't cut through them. So let's have Ter Stegen hold the ball a little bit longer, have the, you know, defense and midfield move up so that maybe we can make some incisive passes and get on a quick attack. But it's just not working out whatsoever. And so many times Busquets would just, you know, kind of give the ball away. Arthur gave the ball away a few times. Stegen himself tried to make some long over-the-top passes that just never panned out. And, you know, even after they scored the first goal, there was like 3 to 4 times where we were trying to get the ball up past halfway line and we just couldn't do it. No. And, you know, going back to that whole intensity and passion for the game thing, it seemed like every 50-50 chance went their way because they were more willing to, you know, jump higher, to run faster, to put their body on the line to try and win it. You know, who in our midfield reminds you of Casemiro, right? Like, who on our defensive line is out there like Marcelo or Ramos in terms of just pure intensity? Now, of course, we have some skilled players, and Piqué and Semedo had a good game, but it seemed like we didn't care as much as they did, and then because of that, anytime we tried to play the ball out of our back, it just fell flat and caused us to have, you know, counters on our own defense.
Well, that, and we were super sloppy, right? We talked about this, but I think the biggest part was that we were so pressured during that second half that it made us very anxious. Very nervous. Like, it was almost like they should have scored even earlier, right? Like, one thing I also thought was that we left so much room in the midfield. So many times did the ball cross our midfield, push forward. Their wingers had so much space to, especially Vinicius. You know how many times he had to be stopped? Like, that's not okay. He's too fast. Semedo did a great job stopping a lot of his attempts, but someone like Semedo can only do so much. He's a great player. I think he has done a better job overall in the last month or so, especially under Setien. But I don't think that's something we should be having to rely on, you know, the first 20 minutes of the second half.
And what was frustrating is that we subbed out, and this is how they scored that first goal from Vinicius. I mean, obviously, it was an unfortunate deflection off Piqué.
Sure.
If Piqué doesn't deflect it, Stegen might have saved it, right? Which, you know, obviously turned the game on its head, but we sub out Vidal, we put in Braithwaite, and then, you know, Kroos is just holding to the ball and he sees Benzema being marked by Semedo. Benzema does a great move to get Semedo to come out, and then Kroos is pointing where he's going to pass the ball to, and Braithwaite got burned, and then, you know, Vinicius scored. So on that play, I wish Semedo would have, you know, stayed back and not necessarily gone and fell for, you know, Benzema's off the ball run.
Sure.
I mean, overall, I think like you were talking about before we recorded this podcast, it wasn't necessarily that our back four were fully to blame or had a bad game. It's just that we have no midfield, really. We have no midfield that can hold the ball, that can resist a press. I mean, you know. Can't resist the press or create offense or hold on to the ball and move it forward. And, you know, here comes our, you know, every podcast mentioned of Anfield, but it kind of felt like that, where we have an opposing team who's pressing us really hard and our midfield just doesn't know what to do. There's no outlets to pass the ball, which I think, you know, comes back to the huge issue here, which is that we have De Jong playing out of his position, and then we don't have any natural wingers who are able to spread the field and create width, right? Part of the reason that Marcelo started over Mendy, in my opinion, is because they knew that we weren't going to be able to create width offensively, so Marcelo wasn't going to be a liability defensively, and so they were able to kind of, you know, basically discard our center, not have to worry about the wings, and then attack us on the wings as well.
Sure. I do want to talk about the midfield a little bit, though, in terms of who we had to sub in, right? In our midfield, we put in Rakitic. when, you know, 10 minutes left on the clock, and we
against
decide...
Against the press, and we put against in Rakitic.
Yeah, we play Rakitic. So looking at the bench, you know, after the game, and what a terrible bench. What were we going to do with that? Other than the sub of Fatien and the sub of...
Braithwaite.
We had Lenglet, who we could have put in, but I don't think that would have saved us. We had Rakitic. Definitely wasn't going to save us. We had Neto, which is, you know, are we going to sub in Neto in a game like this? No. They have to do it, right? Just in case... Stegen gets
injured. I get your point, man. It's just that we don't have a bench. We don't have a deep bench, and that cost us. And like I said, you can blame a lot of that on the board. But and you know, I totally give
Firpo and Collado. That's who I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point you're making. At the same time, though, at the end of the day, it just comes to our players not showing up. I mean, we can't have Vidal, Frankie, Messi, Griezmann not have good games and expect to score a single goal, right? And so, you know, that's what it came to is we got outplayed and our players had bad games. I mean, Semedo is probably the shining star of this game, and you know, there's only so much he can do as that right back. Obviously, we're missing Sergio Roberto, right? Having him on the bench, I think, would be big. He always comes up in big moments like the Clásicos, or he punches Marcelo in the face and gets a red card.
Yes.
But obviously, that was something we missed today, and I have a feeling if, you know, Roberto is in, a lot of these times we're seeing Vidal play as that right winger, it would have been Roberto, but hey, so many times we've seen Roberto play that role and been like, oh, this is awful. So that's not really a big solution. You know, I think we've spoken a lot about the game. Courtois, we got a shout out, had a good game. I thought in the second half on Real Madrid, Fede Valverde also seemed to be more aggressive and kind of made more plays and tried to go out there and get the ball from our midfield and did well. You know, it's pretty doom and gloom. There's not a lot of good things we can say. I mean, overall, the team was trending better. Overall, in that first half, you know, we didn't play great, but I thought we had enough there to take a goal or two goals into the break, and that would have totally changed the vibe of the game. But, you know, now looking at the league, we're down by 1 point. They have the head-to-head advantage, but we do have 12 games left. So, you know, there's still some more room here to take back points. There's still some more room here in the Champions League to, you know, try and contest for some trophies. I don't feel overly optimistic about the Champions League, as we've said and as Lionel Messi has said and Piqué. But, sure, you know, the league is still there. We still have an opportunity. It's just, you know, I think going forward, if we're talking about what changes we need to make to play better, I mean, I think we need to see more Braithwaite, right? I mean, it seemed like when he was subbed into this game, immediately he had an impact. When he was subbed in the last league game, he had an immediate impact. So I would like to see him play a little bit more. It has been interesting to see Setien move away from Fati. You know, I feel like in a way I'm being a hypocrite, because on one hand we've talked so much about how we shouldn't rely on a 17, 18-year-old, but at the same time, when we have the squad we have with this depth, it is a little bit interesting to see Fati kind of go to the backside. You know, the person we haven't talked about too much here is Setien, really, and I do think a lot of the blame has to go on him for how he has Arthur and De Jong operating in the midfield. And I also thought it was just, you know, even though he didn't have a bench, the fact that Vidal got subbed off so late was really bad. I think if we subbed Vidal off in the 60th minute, it would have been much better for us. And like you said, the Rakitic sub was bad. So what are your thoughts on Setien's overall management of the game, and then kind of what changes he needs to make in the future so we can, you know, hopefully challenge for La Liga?
Well, in today's game specifically, I think Setien, like you were saying, made some very poor decisions on and when to sub these players. But I thought his strategy for the game was odd. And I remember you talking to me about the game beforehand and how, you know, you thought maybe he planned on kind of being more of a draw, trying to get like
Valverde-esque is what I said.
And so I don't know how much I totally agree with that, but at the same time, seeing how he played and seeing how our midfield performed, it almost seems like he gave commands to the midfield that it, like, nobody knew really what was going on. Do we push forward and try to score a goal? Do we just not, like, cover the midfield? I don't know what he was going for, especially during the second half. What did he say? Like, that's a big thing. What did he say between the first half and the second half that we came out and did even worse, right? So I do think And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite either, but when if Valverde did something like this and, you know, this game went like it did, I'd be throwing some mad shade at Valverde, right? So true. I can't say that I'm too happy with his performance. What I think he needs to change, man, I would like to see, like you were saying, a Braithwaite start, but I don't think our next game is that game. Maybe against a team like Mallorca, just to see, you know, how it goes.
I mean, the tough part, and this is kind of what we faced when we got Coutinho, was it two winters ago, is that, you know, it's tough when you have a player who can't play in the Champions League, who you try to start in La Liga a lot, because, like, then the team doesn't have continuity, and then once you face that Champions League opponent, you're not able to play the same play style that you've been playing. So, you know, that throws a definite wrench into, you know, trying to rely on Braithwaite as a huge player. At the same time, though, I think at this point, you know, it might be good for us to try and put all of our eggs in the La Liga basket, and if that comes at the expense of, you know, competing in the Champions League, I think that's smart because, okay, we just drew 1-1 against Napoli, right? And then think about this. Real Madrid just lost at home 2-1 to Man City like four days ago, and it was clear that Real Madrid could not keep up with the intensity of Man City, and in this game, we clearly couldn't keep up with the intensity of Real Madrid. So, you know, looking forward, unless we draw like Atalanta or one of these, you know, kind of second-tier teams in the quarterfinals, assuming we even get past Napoli, you know, a team like Bayern or Liverpool or Man City is just going to kind of blow us away and push us to the side. So I think we need to put all of our chips into the La Liga basket, as hard as that is to say as a Barca fan who cares a lot about the Champions League, which has eluded us for, you know, coming on 5 years now.
Totally agree. What, you know, all the things that Setien has tried, I think this wouldn't be too crazy, right? I just think the one thing is, you know, he's going to, if he tries something like this and starts like a Fati, Braithwaite, Messi front three, if it doesn't go the way we plan it, we drop points, we look bad, he's going to get even more criticism, right? And it's going to be one of those things where, what was he thinking? How could he do this? You know, the fan base is so large, you're going to get many, many, many different viewpoints, especially negative ones when something like that happens. On the other hand, if he tries something, you know, and he takes that leap of faith and it goes really well, right, it'll be like a praising moment. Like, oh, he finally tried something that wasn't, you know, dull. He tried something new, creative. He makes a better midfield strategy. I think for trying new things.
So am I, and like I have this caveat on almost every podcast we've done since he's coach. He didn't have a summer to get the players that he wanted. He hasn't had more than, what is that, like almost 2 months now to get the players trained in the methods he wants.
Sure.
So let's give him time. Let's, you know, put the faith behind him that the board has, although, of course, when I say that, it'll trigger people because we don't often like to go with the board, and because their, you know, poor planning has led us to where we are now in terms of depth and quality of players. But we got to give Setien some more time. At the same time, though, like you mentioned, I do feel a little bit like he went away from that attacking and that positive football type mindset and played a little bit Valverde-esque and was kind of trying to play conservatively and trying to, you know, I don't want to say get out of here with a draw, but definitely not attacking and trying to take it to Madrid like we should have. Oh, all right, Yus. Well, I think that does it for us today. You know, we have a big game coming up next weekend against Real Sociedad, and then following that, we have Napoli. I'm pretty nervous, but Mallorca, hopefully the team will be able to bounce back against... We have what?
Mallorca before Napoli.
Ah, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because we play the second week, that's right. I think Liverpool and Atletico play that first week. Any predictions for this Sociedad game?
So, it is at home, keep in mind. Man, I'm just going to... Our defense is so bad. I'm going to go with a draw. Today I didn't think it was that bad, but I'm going to go a draw, 1-1. We are at home, but, you know, today's game might have a effect on us. We didn't seem too energetic. We seem to be facing some difficulties physically and mentally. So I think even at home with today's result and... you know, just looking at like the strategy of the game and the team and whatnot, I think I'm going to go 1-1.
I think it'll be a 3-1. I think the players are going to bounce back a bit. Not enough to save the season, but I think they will come out at the Camp Nou like they usually do with a pretty, you know, offensive-minded game, and we're going to win. But who knows, right? This team is hard to guess. All right, thank you guys so much.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.